Audrey Simpson with us today from the Family Planning Association. Morning to you, Audrey.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Stephen, and Bernie Smith from the anti-abortion group Precious Life. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Audrey.
Stephen, I think it's really important to emphasise that unfortunately Sarah's case is not unique, that our helpline gets calls more or less virtually every day from women in similar circumstances. And because we know that there'll be somebody who's listening to this programme this morning who will be going for their 20-week scan and may be given some devastating news similar to what Sarah received, I think it's important that we give out our helpline number, which is 0845 122 8687.
Can I just intervene one second, Bernie? I will come to you right now. But the minister, this statement that the health minister has just issued to the Nolan Show, a personal statement. Now, there was a statement from the Department of Health to this programme while we were working on the story. But this personal statement from Minister Poots says, senior officials in my department are considering this particular case on my behalf. Now, we were in touch with his department last week before this lady had an abortion, during the timeline when this lady was appealing for help to be able to have an abortion here in Northern Ireland, asking the health minister if he could help her in terms of surrounding her with any help, care, or indeed scrutiny as to what would happen in her case. Did she have to go to London? And now we hear that the minister's saying that his officials are considering this case now. Now, after the ladies had to go to London and after the abortion has happened. Bertie Smith, what are your initial thoughts as you hear this story?
Well, obviously, this woman and women like her, they don't need our sympathy. They need our professional, they need professional support and a system in place here in Northern Ireland to care for those women whose babies are terminally ill. There's a type of care for women in these situations called hospice care. Just the same as we would care for a born baby who was terminally ill and wasn't going to live any length of time. And it's vitally important, and I'm sure the Health Minister is looking at ensuring that there's perinatal hospital care in place where that woman would be supported throughout the pregnancy. There would be nurses, there'd be chaplains, there'd be social workers, there'd be bereavement counsellors. They're all in line, all there to support
that is not
that
the case.
Woman
that is
that difficult period.
Well, Bernie, I can tell you the real life situation for that lady. She had to leave the care of her local doctors and obstetricians and health professionals who she had been with from the very beginning.
I just want to spell this out, Bernie,
and then I'll give you space. She had to leave them because the law does not allow those care workers to facilitate that lady having an abortion. So there is also a grey area around even a health professional, for example, advocating or promoting to a pregnant woman in Northern Ireland a termination of a pregnancy outside Northern Ireland. So these health professionals have got to be really, really careful. So the net effect is this: that young lady, she had to get on a plane without any support from her health professionals. They could not be with her. She had to go to a country where she was not familiar. She's walking around London, because I was with her, and you'll see this on the television tonight. She's walking around London with a suitcase trying to find directions to where this clinic is. She's in a bed and breakfast the night before. And this is the other crucial part, Bernie. If anything went wrong after she was discharged from that clinic, she's sitting in a bed and breakfast. She doesn't have a local doctor. She doesn't even know where the hospital is.
And I understand that, Stephen. And I have been with mothers in that situation, very, very similar. But what I'm saying here, and as Sarah said passionately about the reality of walking out of that hospital without her baby, that same situation would occur. But if hospital care is there, that woman, that mother, would have received all the help to help her come to terms with the difficulties in this pregnancy. She would have given birth naturally. And sometimes in those cases, the baby wouldn't survive till birth. In some cases, The baby is naturally delivered early. The baby, if her life was in danger, the medical profession would intervene very early. Her baby was still alive. And while her baby was still alive in Northern Ireland, that baby is protected under the law because life is a right. It's not a privilege
okay.
to any of us.
Audrey Simpson?
And we need to care for those mothers by supporting them throughout that difficult period. Going to England with that woman into an abortion clinic where her baby would
okay.
be destroyed.
Let's let Audrey Simpson respond.
In the best interest of that woman.
Go on, Audrey.
You referred to when the woman went to a family planning clinic and was given a horrendous time by protesters. That may well have been our office. I don't know. I don't know this woman. I honestly don't know whether she came to our office or not. But you know that we have protesters outside our building. You know, I've said to you many times about the treatment that they are given by Precious Life, who stand outside our building. And I think that you should ask Bernie Smith to apologise for the treatment that the people who belong to her organisation gave to Sarah.
Well, Bernie Smith, I know that you do not know who the protester was who subjected Sarah to this. But would you criticise that protester, and would you say it is absolutely out of order for any protester to be shouting into the face of a young lady trying to find information and telling her that they're killing her baby, that she's killing her baby?
Well, obviously I wasn't there either, and I can assure you that any counsellor in Precious Life or the Women's Network in Northern Ireland would be there to offer a woman support. They would be there to guide her in the right path. I mean, if she was using the Family Planning Association, obviously the main objective of the Family Planning Association is for a woman to have an abortion. The main objective of Precious Life is to love them both, to be there for the mother and the child. And I can understand if that woman was in a distress, obviously.
Yeah, but the question is clear, Bernie. The question is clear and the question is important. From the treatment you heard Sarah was subjected to, would you condemn it?
I would say that because of the mental state of Sarah at that time, that she hadn't been receiving the care and the support to help her through that most difficult period, I can imagine how she felt. But why I can't apologise for anyone who would be reaching out to a girl to offer her and point her in the right direction, pointing her in the direction of an abortion.
Someone
clinic,
shouting into her face.
Her life even
someone shouting into her face and
can
someone. This
Stephen,
is important. Someone shouting into her face and someone following her to her car to the point where she felt intimidated. It is
and
a clear question. Would you condemn
Stephen,
it?
Obviously, Stephen, in a distressed state that she may have been in at that time, I can imagine how she may have felt.
Would you condemn that action?
I also can imagine, I can see and I understand fully any pro-life counsellor who was there, how they would have been reaching out in love to that woman.
Reaching out in love, screaming into someone's face?
Abortion does not free a woman from the effects of...
You won't condemn it, will you?
Abortion destroys a woman. And we have seen by studies, a Dutch study had shown that women who abort their babies for any form of fetal abnormality.
You won't condemn it. You will not condemn it.
Stress is actually increased by 50%.
Interesting. Really interesting. You can go on. You can go on, Bernie Smith, about percentages all you like, but you will not condemn a protester screaming into someone's face.
I can imagine how the mother felt during the experience.
Well, you heard how she felt this morning.
Because of how her unborn child was going to die, I can imagine the effects that that have. And I believe that she deserved to have the sympathy of a professional system that would be there to care for her.
Well,
Family Planning Association.
Let me just tell you about that professional system. This lady has told me that the care, the dedication that she received from staff here in Northern Ireland was second to none. That she could not have wished for better care from the medical staff here in Northern Ireland.
Why is she critical of that care?
She is not critical of that care. She is critical of having to leave that care. She is not critical of that care. She is critical of being forced to leave that care in order to get an abortion in England.
And obviously, we speak about the Department of Health, and I can imagine that the Minister for Health, and I will on her behalf as well, have a chat, talk to the Minister of Health about ensuring that there is better hospice care, perinatal care there for women to ensure that they are protected and supported through that whole pregnancy experience. But having her child terminated early is not in the best interest of any woman.
Okay, Audrey Simpson?
In fact, studies have shown it's worse for that woman.
Thank you for that, because I think that that interview showed very clearly that Precious Life feel that it is absolutely 100% okay to treat women inhumanely. That woman, what she has gone through is, as I said, is not unique. Our position here in Northern Ireland with regard to the law has been criticised by human rights bodies throughout. I hope that this morning that Minister Poots, that the Department of Justice, that the Attorney General and that MLAs have listened to Sarah's story, because that's the real story. It's not about somebody sitting drawing up a guidelines which is draconian, which threatens professionals, which is making professionals believe that the law has changed when the law hasn't changed, and is stopping professionals exercising their clinical judgment. Because they, you know, I think it was one of your callers, earlier callers, said very clearly that this would have long-term effect on the woman's mental health. Sarah said herself that this will be with her for the rest of her life. That is very clearly showing that that woman's mental health will be seriously affected. And how somebody like Bernie Smith and Precious Life believe that it is perfectly okay to shout at a woman that you're a murderer, because that's what they say. And they even shout at our staff last week. One of our members of our staff, whilst they were holding the rosary in their hand, called him a name that I couldn't repeat on radio. That's the reality of what Precious Life do to women who are in a very difficult...
Okay, Bernie Smith, you can reply to that.
Yes, exactly. I'm saying here, Stephen, is this interview set up to attack people who genuinely care for mothers and children? Is it set up to attack Precious Life? Because what I can see here is we're losing the point of the story. The point of the story here is very clear, that woman, that women in those situations, and bearing in mind the 99.9% of abortions performed in the UK are not performed because of fetal abnormalities. They're performed for clearly social reasons. So let us look at that 1% and ensure that here in Northern Ireland, that those women are given that care, they're given that love and that support throughout their whole pregnancy. And as the mother had said, that she herself, her greatest fear was coming out without her baby. In the cases where women are given that care, that woman is given an opportunity to bond with her baby through the pregnancy. If her baby is born, in some cases the baby is born alive for a minute, it's alive for 5 minutes, let's ensure that that woman is given that care, that opportunity to bond. Her family members are present during that experience, and that child becomes part of a family. When a mother in that case is taken to an abortion clinic, yes, she comes out with empty arms because she is given money to pay for an abortion. She never gets the results of. She never gets the body of her baby.
Well, she wasn't given money by anybody. The family had to raise the money themselves.
Well,
in terms,
she would have been treated with love and respect.
Let's look. Listen, there are many, many people at home wanting to talk about this. John, morning, John.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, John.
I'm just following up just what Bernie was saying there. Myself and my wife went through, we lost a son just before Christmas last year. He was stillborn. Now we found out she was 27 weeks. We went for a scan on the Wednesday and we were told they couldn't find a heartbeat and that the baby had died inside my wife and she was induced. And my wife had to go through childbirth on the Friday morning. And I'm just saying about what you're saying about the mental health issues of people who go away and have abortions. But it also affects you as well if you go through that, if you go through having to give birth, having to watch my wife give birth and go through labour, her knowing and me knowing that there was nothing at the end of it. We weren't going to have any life at the end of it. And that is something that will live with us for the rest of our lives, and it'll affect us mentally for the rest of our lives. So I can understand completely what Sarah was talking about earlier on, about not wanting to carry that baby full term and not wanting to have to go through. You imagine any woman having to go through labour and knowing, carrying a baby for 9 months, and yet knowing that pain and suffering, that she was not going to have anything at the end of it. It's just too hard to think about.
Sarah's family wrote pleading for help to the health minister on the 2nd of October, pleading for help, and received a they received a response on the 8th of October, in other words, yesterday. Now, we'd been on this story since last week, and we'd been contacting the department since last week. The response that Sarah's family received yesterday, remember that the minister is now saying this morning, this is a personal statement from Edwin Poots, and he's saying this morning that he's asking his officials, have they done everything possible here in this case for this lady? But yesterday, just yesterday, the Department of Health wrote to this lady, thank you for your email of 2nd of October to Minister Poots. The minister has asked me to reply on his behalf. Your family has found itself in a heartbreaking situation. You can only be commended for the support you're providing your daughter. And then the email goes on to say, this response, sorry, from the Department of Health goes on and says, in Northern Ireland, and it just spells out the law, it is unlawful to perform a termination unless it's necessary to preserve the life of the pregnant woman or there's a real risk of real or serious adverse effect on her physical or mental health. If a doctor in Northern Ireland considers your daughter's circumstances meet this description, the procedure can be lawfully carried out. No changes have been made to the legislation in relation to termination of pregnancy in Northern Ireland. The law is as it stands. Yours sincerely, blah, blah. So that was the extent of the help that the Department of Health gave as recently as yesterday in writing to that family. And now, 24 hours later, the minister is saying senior officials in his department are considering this case on his behalf. So, you know, what's changed in 24 hours? Why are they now considering it? They wrote to this family and told them the law is as it stands. That's it. What has changed? And what do we think about this in Northern Ireland? And look, let me emphasise again so that I can be, and that's why I wanted to speak to Minister Poots. I wanted to hear his view, his dilemma. I wanted to hear his position. I wanted to hear what constituents have been saying to him. There is significant support coming through this programme this morning for Minister Poots' decision, for Minister Poots' opinion, for his view. But there is also a lot of people saying, do we not need to look at all of this again? John, morning, John.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Look, I'm listening to Bernie there and getting angrier by the moment. She's very gentle-spoken in a way, but she's not facing up to reality. My wife and I had a baby with Leeson Caffley quite a few years ago, which is a step up from Anand Caffley. I understand what all the Caffleys are. You have Leeson Caffley, Anand Caffley, A. Caffley, Heidi Caffley. We, our child had Leeson Caffley. We were told the child would live for 1 hour. That child lived for 10.5 years. 10.5 miserable years. When she couldn't see, she couldn't feed. We tube fed her. She needed a tracheostomy. She developed kyphoscoliosis. Her limbs disjointed themselves around the hips. We kept her alive for those 10 years. And on one occasion in particular, we could have let her go on a Sunday afternoon if I had taken the advice of the doctor. I now regret not having taken the doctor's advice and let her slip away with what's known as the old man's helper. Like it's like
that's a big thing for a parent to say.
I can tell you, I fought with bureaucracy in Northern Ireland, looking for help, pleading for help, and received no help. We were left alone to deal with that situation, and that child died on RCT at 10.5 years of age. And you hear people saying about you should let the child be born. If we had known that that child was going to live a miserable existence like that, and we were born and reared as Christian people, we care a great deal for our children, we would have allowed that child to be aborted without a shadow of a doubt. Keeping her alive was a selfish act on our part. That's how we feel about it now. And I listen
yet people would say that your child still had life.
It was the most
and was
miserable.
Entitled to life. Whether you interpret it as miserable or not, is entitled
it was
to life.
A living death that child suffered. The pain that she endured is indescribable. She required surgery a few times in her life. She broke her leg in hospital, and I only ever saw her crying about 3 times. That's how aware of the world that she was. She needed to be in terrible, terrible pain before she would cry. She had no vision. She had no idea of up from down. She didn't know us. She didn't know her siblings. It was absolutely awful. I couldn't even begin to describe it. I mean, I would need your whole program just to describe our wee life. And we loved that child just the same as we loved our other children.
Okay.
But I can tell you that we would not have brought her onto this world.
John, thank you. Thank you for your call today. 0845 955 678. If you are just joining us on the Nolan Show this morning, I've travelled with a young lady in London to a clinic where she had an abortion. She had to go to London for the abortion because the law forbids her from having it here in Northern Ireland. Her child had anencephaly. It is a serious fetal abnormality, which means that that child is very likely to die either before it is delivered or within minutes of the child being delivered. Betty wants to speak to Bernie Smith. Morning, Betty.
Good morning, Stephen.
Say good morning to Bernie. Go ahead, Betty.
Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Betty.
Bernie, I don't know where you all get your ideas from. It is now, who tells you that you're right? Who tells you that you're right?
What do you want this? What do you want to say there, Betty? How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm saying, who tells her that she and her people are right to do this?
To do what, Betty?
To tell people that they can't have abortions. Where does all this come from? Who tells you? Does Jesus or God speak to you?
You've said, Betty, this morning that you're so angry. Why are you angry?
I'm so angry that the like of Bernie and her cronies, and that's what I'll call them, and they can do whatever they like.
Well, do you want to dehumanise me as well and my cronies?
Well,
in an abortion, we dehumanise
unborn
child.
You're all unborn children. It's holy rollers on both sides in this country. And you see if it had been my daughter that did.
You want me to answer you, Betty? Because you
go ahead. You're one of these, okay? You're one of these smart ones.
Well, and if you want to come on and attack me, well, that's your...
I will attack you, yes, because you bloody deserve it.
But you've asked me a question. And
well,
I can
go
ask
ahead,
that question to tell you why. Because
right.
I see the devastating effect that abortion has on women. But right. I also see that we as a society, if we provide that support to a woman in a crisis pregnancy, whether it be financial, whether it be moral support, whether it be perinatal support, I see the end results of that. I've never had a woman, I never had a family bring their baby back because we supported them, whatever the case may be. I've been there, and particularly with a case with a young baby whose mother conceived and the baby had trisomy 18.
Yeah.
I was there throughout the pregnancy with the mother. I was there for the 33 days.
Yeah.
I was there when the family bonded with that child.
That all sounds very calm and collected. The reality is this morning, you've refused to condemn people who scream into the faces of these pregnant ladies. You refuse to condemn it.
Cameras out then with Precious Life and Women's Network. Why don't you come out and see what we do? Come to our centre.
Why don't you condemn people who scream into pregnant ladies' faces? Why don't you condemn it, Bernie Smith? That's the question.
Any of our members screaming.
Bernie, I mean, you're a great speaker.
Offer love and support.
Bernie, hold on a minute, please. You're a great speaker and all, but how dare you let your people...
She didn't let anybody. She didn't know about it, Betty.
Well, okay, she didn't know about it,